Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha
and Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
On today's episode, we're discussing the relationship between adult children and their parents. If you're new here, we actually have a few episodes on this topic. So we've done one with just me and Miosha, where we're talking about adult mother-daughter relationships. And then we also had a guest come on and talk about complicated mother-daughter relationships. But this is our first time doing it from the parent's perspective. So we have a really good episode in store for you guys. And if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, go ahead and consider giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to give this video a thumbs up. All right, so I will briefly introduce our guest for today. She has been in my life for, I guess, 20 years-ish.
Wow.
I know. That seems so crazy to say, but yeah, about 20 years. And I call her Mama Hughes, but you guys can call her Mrs. Hughes. And I am so grateful that you are doing this, because I have observed your relationship with your children. And I think this will be a really good one. So if there are any other things that you'd like to say, let us know a little bit about you. We would be happy to hear.
First of all, thank you, ladies, so much for inviting me. I was so excited to get the invite. I love it. I love Samaria. She's my other daughter. And now, Miosha, I have another one. It's you. So I'm so excited. But yes, I am Kimberly Hughes, and I have two adult children. Oh, my goodness. My son, Robert, is 27. Next Friday, he'll be turning 28. I am just crazy. I don't understand that. And then my daughter, Chloe, turned 23 in February. Oh. But I'm excited to be here. Love being a mom, love being a wife, love people. So thank you once again.
Absolutely. Oh. All right. So I think we should just go ahead and dive in. First, I would like to talk about how you saw your role as a mother when your children were, let's start with like 12 and under. What was your role during those ages?
Well, being a mom, it's really my belief that children are a gift from God. So I took my role very seriously, as they were on loan to me. So that it was my job to be their sole source of what it is that they needed to be on earth. So for them, that could be, you know, feeding them, being there for them. So I was really the source, let's say, from 12 and under. And I really enjoyed being that for them.
Okay.
And so how would you say that changed in the teenage year? So let's do 13 to, I guess, 18 is when people usually go off into, you know, career or college. So how would you describe your role during those ages? And how is it different from 12 and under?
Well, it definitely is different, because as they got older, even closer to 12, they became more independent. But 13-year-olds, that is that age. I am a former educator, and sometimes that middle schooler, especially a boy at 13, can be extremely challenging. That's what I'll say. But I think I was more like the mom manager, because all of their schedules and where they needed to be, what they needed to do, was my responsibility, whether it was Little League, it was ballet for my daughter, keeping up with projects, reminding them, keeping a calendar. So it went from being their sole source of sort of thinking for them, doing for them, to this is what you have to do. I'm going to have to help you manage that, because I know you're not responsible enough to do it all yourself. So I moved from sole source to sort of like mom manager, keeping up with that. And then, of course, I was a transporter in that time frame too. Anywhere they needed to go, I was the source for that.
So Was it a huge transition for you, I guess, going from the source to the manager? And I guess, was it like a light switch or was it a gradual change just as they grew and developed?
Great question. It was gradual, and it had to be gradual because it couldn't be cookie cutter for each child. So because I had multiple children with different personalities and the way they did it, it had to be really different. And quite honestly, although my daughter is 5 years younger than her brother, not so much. I needed to manage some things with her because she was driven. She was very organized. She was going to be on top of it. She wasn't as much of a procrastinator. Now, the boy was so different from that. Robert was kind of very laid back. It was like, yeah, it'll get done. But I really think that that came because things came so easy for him. Extremely bright, could get things done, would sleep in class, wake up, take a test, and ace it. Like he was paying attention and had not been. This is what one of his teachers said to me. Whereas my daughter, Chloe, was very intentional. She studied. She needed to be there. It didn't come as easy for her. So I had to really manage them differently because of that.
I love that you said that, because I think sometimes people think parenting is like one size fits all. And I'm not a parent yet, but just like observing children, you know, and their parents, you just start to see they have their own ways of doing things that you have to adapt to. Successfully, it seems.
Absolutely. You need to treat them as individuals because they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you say, so we've done 12 and under, 13 to 18. What do you think is the difference between your role during those ages and now that they're adults? What has that transition been like?
And it's funny, I love these questions, and it's something that I considered and actually talked about with people before. So it was this transition from mom manager to now I am the consultant. All right. So you are 18 and older. When my son was 18, he left home. He graduated in May and September. He joined the Air Force, and he's been gone since then. So he has never come back to live at home. So decisions that he makes, things he did, I became sort of a consultant for that, sort of presented with these, if they wanted to share, same with my daughter, presented with these options. And then I just sort of consulted. Now, this is probably the most difficult time for me, that transition from being the one who kept up with the schedules, who knew everything that was going on, to being the one who had to be invited in. That was not an easy transition, but it was a needed one. And so my husband and I both had to come to the realization that we've created this environment for our children where they were nurtured and they were able to grow. Now they've grown. So it's time for them to continue that. And sometimes it may not involve me so hands-on. And a lot of times it does not. It does not.
If you don't mind me asking, how did it make you feel during that time? So I'm a young mom. I still feel like I'm a new mom in the game. And I just can't envision, I guess, relinquishing control. My child is very young still. So I want to know what was your, I guess, state of mind during that time? Was it like, ooh, I finally made it to where I'm an empty nester and woohoo? Mm-hmm. Or was it more of like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do if they make the wrong move?
So I think it was probably a combination of both. Excited for the empty nest phase, because I'd heard so much about it. It's like this unspoken club that you are so excited to have membership in, right? But seeing other people who I know and them not transitioning well in their mind made me want to make sure that I embraced the totality of it. That means taking the good, the bad, and the ugly, the sometimes great with that particular space. So it was, I sort of ebb and flow. There were some things I was ready to relinquish, like, yep, you got it. Deuces. But then there were other things. It was kind of like, oh my gosh, okay, is she really okay down there? I know she's living in an apartment off campus, doing life. I didn't want to think about what time she was coming in, who she was out with, because that was too much stress for me, yeah, being away from her. So I had to really trust that what I had put into them, what we had poured into them, would come up when it was needed. Because that could just be a type of, you know, stress and insanity, always trying to second guess what someone else is doing. That's too much trouble. That's what I often tell young women who I mentor about relationships. Say, girl, if you got to be worrying about what somebody else is doing, that's mm-hmm. too much trouble. You got to trust that either this is it, and that if it's not, you'll deal with that when it comes. But you can't be worried about that. Same thing for me with parenting, trusting that process, trusting that I made the right decisions, that I made the right investment in them. And when you least expect it, that harvest or that crop comes up and go like, they were listening. He got that. Okay. Or she got that.
Yeah. It reminds me of a conversation I had with my mom. I think it was right before I went off to school. So I left home at 18 and went pretty far away for school. And I just remember telling my mom, like, you know, you've done everything, you've poured in, and mm-hmm. now is like time to relax and relinquish the reins and enjoy this next season of still being there to help guide, but not take on the stress of every little move that yes. I'm making. Like, you have to kind of take a step back and let me sink or swim. And I feel like she did in that season. So,
and if you follow your own advice, you're going to be great with yours when your child gets
listen
up.
Let's hope I can take it. Samaria will be the one to talk me off the
end. Like, please let that baby go.
But that's important to have that village that doesn't seem to exist a lot now, where people can tell you, okay, you're doing too much.
Yeah.
Give her some space, or give him some space, or it's okay. So that's important to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to ask if you sensed any tension from their side, like, so, you know, off at college or going into the Air Force, were there any moments where, you know, they felt like, okay, you're overstepping, or they signaled to you that you were overstepping?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. My son has been in the Air Force since 2013. So it's 10 years for him now. And that's halfway to the finish line. And he wants to get up. Mm. And I'm like, and my husband, we're both like, but you know, by the time you're 38, you could have this full military retirement. Go and work whatever job you want to work and retire from there. It just makes sense. So to me, it doesn't make sense to make that move. But that's not my decision. That's not our choice. He has his own family, and he's doing what he feels is best for him. And that's been a little hard, because, you know, when I see that there is a better way and I'm offering this better way and you're not taking the better way, then I take it personally. It's logical to me. I don't see why you don't understand. But I have to step back. What I do, though, is offer those clarifying questions about things like, okay, well, what if this happens? Have you considered this alternative? What about this? Is it okay if you, so if that's that consultant again, just offering these things, sometimes unsolicited, I will admit. <It's> like, and I'm gonna ask you to ask me that, but just, I want them to make great decisions and to think about it a different way. But ultimately, it is their decision, and I am going to support him hands down if that is the route that he takes, and encourage him along his journey from wherever it is. So
that is so interesting. I actually was speaking with a parent, so a family friend, and her son is maybe 24 now, has his career. And she's like, yeah, last night we were all having this conversation, and I was telling him he needs to go and get his master's. And she like tells me why she thinks he needs to get his master's. And I think a part of her was talking to me about it because, you know, I've done the master's, I'm doing the PhD. So maybe she thought that I would support what she was saying. And I was like, you know, based on the field that he's in, I wouldn't recommend that he, you know, gets a master's degree right now because it might not pay off. Mm. And, you know, I think during her time of coming up, that was just like the next thing that you would naturally And so she's like, okay, I understand now that you're saying it. Like, it makes sense now. But, you know, when he was trying to communicate that, she was just like, no, you don't know. Like, you need to listen to me. So, yeah, it's always interesting seeing that dilemma with parents.
Yes. Yeah. Indeed.
So before becoming a mom, or even when your children were younger, did you ever envision what the adult parent-child relationship would look like and what you would have with them? Or either what you wanted it to be or desired it would be?
You know, I don't know if I ever gave that much thought. Mm. I'm gonna go to the no rather than the yes, because I realized that during those years, my mother had passed away. So she was not there. So I think that I was thinking, when I think on it now, I was thinking that it was a natural progression, that it would just be a great relationship. Great relationship was modeled for me. This is what the outcome was. We were great friends. We grew together, laughed. I could share anything with her. So I felt like that's just the way it was supposed to be. But in hindsight, I think that it might have been better to have a plan, to have a vision of where I wanted to go so that I could be more intentional about how to get there. But I gotta say that it felt like a free fall from looking at it now, that there was no real thought. There was not a plan. There was nothing that I envisioned, except I expected it to be like the parent-child relationship that I experienced with my parents.
Yeah, I was talking to my mom this past weekend, and I told her that now that I'm a mom, I'm realizing that I'll have more years in an adult parent-child relationship with my child than parent-child relationship. And that's something that I've been thinking about in terms of having a child now and maybe having more children and just what that means for my life. And that you can just get so wrapped up in the season you're in and not think much about, like, okay, over the course of a lifetime, I was telling her that we'll have more years together with me being an adult, God willing, you know, that she has many more years here than we would have had from age 0 to 18, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, I'd never given it a thought, but you're right. You're right. Wow.
Yeah, I can even look at like my parents, and I think one of them transitioned better than the other. Like, I think the consultant role came easier for one person, and they were able to back off a little bit, whereas the other might have stayed in the manager source type of way. And so I've definitely seen the difficulty. Usually when I have spoken with people who were able to make that transition to consultant, it was intentional. So I think it's really cool that you're like, yeah, I just kind of found my way into it.
Yeah.
Do you think there were things that you did when your kids were younger that kind of made this adult relationship a little bit easier and set the foundation for it?
I think so. I think doing what I saw modeled for me, like the open communication, I could talk to my mother about anything. And I am still amazed when I think back on things that I shared with her, how she kept her cool. Now, she might have been shocked, but she didn't show that she was shocked. And that's what I really tried to do. I wanted to be open, let them know that you can tell me anything, even from the very youngest. Tell me what happened. It's better that you tell me now. You get to tell me how this story goes, because if I have to walk down that hill and... and ask Miss Hicks, you remember Miss Hicks? Yes. I gotta walk down that hill and ask Miss Hicks, you know, it's not gonna be good for you. So they would just spill. So this being open, that communication, letting them know that you can come to me, you can trust me with your feelings and emotions. Might not always turn out how you want, that I appreciate you sharing that, but nope, we're not going to do that. Or if I had to discipline, I still discipline. Didn't have a problem with it, but that open communication. I like to talk. My son still tells me today, like, he can't believe, he's like, Mom, really? I'll say what comes up in my head and then I try to clean it up later, but they know that that's me, that yeah. I'm going to come with it. So my mom is going to be honest with me. I can be honest with her. So I think that really open communication was foundational.
Okay. So you mentioned that you feel like you had a great model in terms of your relationship with your mom and kind of what was passed down to you. Was there anything that you would have deemed as old school or traditional in terms of parenting that you felt like you would want to do differently with your kids?
Absolutely. One thing for sure is that old adage about a child should be seen and not heard. Definitely want to throw that out. Now, there are some things that, you know, I'm still of old school. I was raised and socialized in the South. So there are some things that I think are non-negotiables. Like, you don't call an adult by their first name. You put a handle on it. Even if it's miss or auntie or whatever, you say something. But giving them the confidence to be able to be heard, I thought was important. And that was not always something that my grandparents and sometimes my parents would do. Be like, shh, hush, nobody talking to you. Now, I still think that there's a time and a place for you to speak, and you need to be, but that goes for adults. It's not appropriate to speak it every time when we want to. But them being heard and knowing that they have a voice and that they can, I think is important. So that for me was one of those things that had to go, seen and not heard.
Okay. Samaria, I know you don't have kids yet, but is there anything that you envision that you would probably not pass on in terms of parenting? And this is all hypothetical. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Okay. I think yelling. So I had a younger cousin who was like, you know, raised in my household. And when I think back on like her childhood, I'm like, oh, yelling was just kind of like my go-to. I'm like, girl, don't do this, don't do that. And now that I'm older, I'm like, is it really necessary to yell that much? Like, probably not. So I think I will try to significantly decrease how much I don't know that I can confidently say I won't yell at all. I think, you know, I would still be learning at that point. So yelling and then like spankings, I don't know if that's something that I would want to continue. I didn't get spanked much as a child. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. My brother definitely got more than I did. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'll have to play around and see what works. But that's something that I would not want to do.
Okay. I think mine would be, I think just letting go of the idea that adults are always right. Ooh. I think from the previous generation, there was this thought of kind of the adults band together and then the children feel like no matter what the adult does or says, they're right. So I don't know. I want them to have respect for adults and authority, but not to the point where something weird could be going on or bad happening to them to where they don't want to speak up, especially now people are being a lot more vocal about things that have happened to them at the hands of adults. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it taking so long for this to come, these types of things to come out, is this idea that adults are right and kids are wrong.
I love that. Those are good. I think about, and I know this is not the same, but that adage that we've heard with customers, like the customer is always right. Mm-hmm. It's always been my belief that the customer always has a valid point that I need to view, but it's not necessarily right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if this is the policy of a store, then, and they view, if they want something opposite, that's not right. But hearing their need, validating that their need is their need, yeah, just like you said, I think is important. And when I think about discipline, something you said, Samaria, about the difference, and I agree with you. I don't necessarily want to. Yeah, I have yelled, but I think now, as I have grown and they have grown, you know, no more yelling. But just like children or individuals in other areas, the way that you discipline them, I think, will need to be different. Taking away for one child may mean nothing to the other. So you have to find that balance and realize that they're individuals and approach it differently. So, yeah. But I think you ladies are on the right track. Y'all sound good. There is no manual to this. So you got it.
It's funny. My sister, I guess had a meeting with her kids, and like they talked about the things that, you know, happened in the house that they would want changed. And interestingly, jokes came up. So so just the way that you joke, like you think, oh, I'm just teasing her and this is a funny thing, and like the whole family, you know, might refer to you as this name because it's funny and there's a story that goes with it or whatever. And I thought that was so funny and good, because, you know, my dad would joke with us a lot, but there's this one particular joke, even like into my adulthood, when I would complain about something, he would be like, well, remember when you said such and such and such and such? And I'm like, first of all, that happened like 12 years ago. You should not, like, it's not funny anymore. Stop. I'm trying to, like, you know, and it would frustrate me. So I love that, you know, they have the space to say, okay, I understand that's funny to y'all. That's not funny. Don't do that anymore.
I love it.
Girl, parents will bring up stuff from 15 years ago like it happened yesterday. Like, really, from when I was 5?
Is that necessary? Oh,
Just wait.
You're going to be doing it too.
I know. Look, I already find myself sounding like my mom. It's inevitable.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to jump ahead and just ask, either based on your experience or, you know, the experiences of others who are raising their kids or were raising their kids alongside you, what were some of the other struggles that you either experienced or saw as the children grew up and became adults?
Wow. I saw a lot of parents not handle the transition well, because of circumstances. I'm thinking in particular about a mom whose husband passed away, and the son, who was not a man, she called him the man of the house. He's the man. He's still a child. So it was still a difficult transition for her to see the role, because he didn't get a chance to grow in some spaces, because he was replaced by an adult male that he really should not have been replacing at that time. So that can be a struggle, whatever that looks like for a family when things happen and they're different. So that transition was not easy. And I don't even know if it's better still. And this has been some years ago. So that is a difficult thing. But I was trying to think, was there anything in our own lives that have been difficult? And it's probably just this sitting in this consulting role. Well, now that I am a grandmother, I like it because they are asking questions, right? So they live many, many miles away. Her family is there. But her mom, you know, the relationship is not as strong. So she'll reach out and ask me questions. My son will ask me questions. Unfortunately, they're Googling stuff and asking the internet questions. I just like, really? I mean, things like, she's getting ready to walk now. Should you use a shoe or should you not use a shoe? Yeah, all of those kinds of things. But I do like that they ask. So I am now not even a consultant necessarily for them, but more like a resource. I think as you progress from parent to grandparent, that is what you become. That's the way I view it. I'm a resource now. I have information. I can be a source of strength for you, But if you ask me, we can do that. Whatever the resource is and needs, and that could be the child coming here with me or us sending things that they need. Don't you worry about buying that. We'll get that, whatever that is. So
Man, that is a testament to, I think, like, your parenting over the years, because when we did the episode Complicated Mother-Daughter Relationship, the guest that we had on that episode had just had her child, I think maybe like 4 or 5 months before we did the episode. And her relationship with her mother, of course, is complicated, and her father had passed. And she's like, I wish I had someone who could help me, like who could guide me. But because of the discomfort and the tension that they had between them, she did not have that resource. So it was a lot of YouTube, you know, that she had to reach out for. Or, you know, I think she like asked Neosha some questions at the end of our call too, because Neosha, I think, was like a year and some change into it. So yeah, I think it's a testament to, okay, I've set up this structure that works so that they feel comfortable enough to come to me to be a resource, you know, and they're not hiding that from me. So.
Yeah. I'm very glad to hear that you describe your role as a grandma as a resource, because I think that's also can be a difficult transition as well when your child becomes a parent and you become a grandparent, and just kind of figuring out what that role will look like now that your child is a parent, but you still may feel this sense of responsibility and obviously investment because it's your grandchild. Sure. And I think there's a certain amount of independence that has to be given to let them raise and rear their own child. And so I'm just curious as to how has that been for you in terms of being a resource and maybe not being as involved, or are you as involved? And like finding the right balance is what I'm trying to get at.
I know. One thing, the distance is problematic for me. So we, my granddaughter, her name is Ziamara. She turned a year in April. So we went out for the first birthday, got a chance to see her, and we do WhatsApp, because I'm a Droid girl, I don't have an iPhone, so we're not doing FaceTime. So WhatsApp, so we get a chance to see her, but it's not the same. Yeah. I feel like she really doesn't get to know me. I just want to love her and hug her and all. So that has been a problem. The other problem is, quite honestly, God forgive me if they hear this, but I don't like how they dress my grandbaby either, okay? So I send clothes. Oh, this would be so cute. But I have to realize that they have their own taste, their own likes. So I have to be okay with that. But it really used to bother me, because I want, you know, if it's a little girl with the frilly, the pretty, and they're kind of like, no, the onesie is good. Yeah. She can just scoot around the house in that. Cute headbands, all have, but, you know, so that has been a bit of a struggle, but that's just, that's only my issue, not necessarily my husband and I, that's my issue. So I'm often get a package at the door, but I still do that with my son, my daughters. Like my son had on some things, some shoes. I was like, oh, those need to be retired. We were there. I went on Amazon. Prime. Yeah, we need a new pair of those. Yep. Come to the house tonight. Tell them I put those in the trash. I don't want to see those anymore. I know that's bad.
No, but I love it. Put your money where your mouth is. You have an opinion, but you're willing to follow up. Right? I love it.
That is hilarious. Okay. So I think this one's very important, because I think there are a lot of moms who might struggle with this transition, who are either at the place where they have to transition already, or they have a few more years, and whatever you say right now can really help them prepare. So what advice would you give to mothers who are struggling to like navigate that transition from kids to like adult?
I would say teach them. And, or, you know, that there has been a process where you've been pouring into them, and then sort of trust that what you put in them is there. Then another thing that I think is important is that we our children, as we transition differently to who we are in their lives, we need to realize that we need to transition how we think about who they are in our lives. What I mean by that is, I can't be so consumed with being the source, the mom manager, the consultant, you know, moving along that and still not fostering relationships of my own and having my own world, realizing that this is going to come to an end. This need that they needed me for in the past is not going to be the same in the future. So I needed to make sure that I was still working on myself, that I was doing things to make sure that I could still be a viable human, a friend, you know, a girlfriend, a lunch buddy, a wife. I still needed to be working on these other relationships and not be so consumed in thinking that my child is everything. I hope you understand what I'm saying about that, that yeah. I had to balance that I am a whole person. I'm not just a mom. Mm-hmm. I'm more than that. So I need to work on all those aspects as well.
Would you say that that became easier during the 13 to 18 years? Because from my experience, I found that when your kids are young, motherhood can just feel all consuming. And I'm just envisioning as they get older and independent in other areas that that just frees up your mental space a little bit to pour back into yourself.
Oh, absolutely. It did okay. become easier the older that they became. And I just had to pay attention, I guess, more of what I felt like their needs were. I still needed to be involved and be aware, sort of to redirect and mm-hmm. to navigate differently, but it did. It was not as consuming. Even from when your child is first born, a lot of moms, the reason why we know what postpartum depression is because so many people experience it. Mm-hmm. And I had heard about it. I worked in healthcare before, particularly in women's health, in a labor delivery area. So I knew that this was a very real thing. So when I experienced it, I was aware, but I think I thought prior to that, yeah, that's just what people say. Surely it couldn't feel like that. But mm-hmm. oh my God, the overwhelming feeling that I needed to get up and check because my child may not be breathing. It that really tried to consume me. And I'm sure other people had that. And I really had to, you know, talk with people. I had to pray, had to really cast that care because that could have been consuming. So going from that to I needed to nurture, I must be in control, I've got to take care of this child, to gradually taking your hands off mm-hmm. can be a daunting thing. But understanding that is natural. Other people have done it. So it can be done. Getting those discomfort, having a supportive partner in parenting, that even helps in adulthood. Like those things, like with my son, where I shared about what he was thinking, you know, didn't react a lot when he was telling us this, but we got a chance to really just debrief with each other and bounce back and forth. Like, can you believe that? I can't believe that. Oh my
Let
God.
Let me tell you about your son.
Right. It wouldn't have been appropriate for him, for me to have that conversation with him. But with one another, that was helpful. So keeping these resources, these connections is so important. It was always designed, I believe, to be that way, that it takes everybody to help not just raise the child, but to help raise the parent while they're raising the child too.
Wow.
That is
good. Yes. I want to end on this because you have a book that we haven't spoken about. So would you like to tell us a little bit about the book, what inspired you to write it, the name of it, anything you'd like to share? And we'll also include the link in the description. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. The book is called The Endearing Qualities of an Indestructible Mother. And I love that title because I feel like it just came to me. I don't know where you all get downloads from, but it happens to me in the shower every time I get stuff mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, the water is just running into ideas into me. But for years I had thought about this and I wanted to be able to share stories because I had some real life experiences for myself, people who I was connected with. And I thought they were just great life lessons. But I didn't want to share people's personal business or my personal business. So I did it with a fiction slant. So it's themes and tropes that are appropriate for things that I know that happen realistically, but put in a fiction type way. So it's a collection of short stories about moms that no matter what they've gone through, no matter what their issues were, be it addiction or single, being a single parent, having been molested or raped, it's those stories, realizing that there's strength in every mom and that children see us. They see us, Miosha, they see us, Samaria, and they're always learning and gleaning something. So it's told from the angle of the child, this endearing quality that I see in my mom that makes her indestructible, strength, perseverance, whatever it is, because they do learn from us. So that's how it got started. And that's basically what it's about. And it is available on Amazon. And I just love it. And I told it from the mother's perspective, and I really am giving some consideration to doing one for fathers as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I have to go look that up. All right. We're going to get into our next segment, which is called Girl, What's Good, where we talk about something we've been loving for the past couple of weeks. It could be a book, an item, store, anything we've been loving. So Ms. Hughes, what's been good with you?
Oh my goodness. All right. So a guilty pleasure of mine is science fiction. I love sci-fi. I have been binge watching on Netflix. Crazy. This show came out years ago. The Arrow and Flash.
Yeah.
Both of them. It's like, oh my gosh, I meant this when this was out years ago. But I am loving it. I think I'm about season 3 in one and season 4 in the other. But yeah, so my family talks about me. But yeah, I have.
Okay, I used to watch Arrow. I fell off, but that's a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
All right, Samaria.
Mine is a show too. Okay. So it's an old show. I don't even know if it still comes on, but they have about 5 seasons. And when I binge, I like to binge. So that's how I started it. But it's called SWAT. And it stars Shamar Moore,
who has
been good looking his entire life. Such a beautiful man. But yeah, I like those shows that deal with like crime fighting and police force and all of that. So I have been loving the show SWAT. And it's on Netflix now. I don't know how long it's on there, though.
Yeah, awesome. I feel like it has a good amount of seasons.
It does. And he actually left Criminal Minds to go to that show. So yeah, I used to follow Criminal Minds, and when he left, I was like, how dare you? Like, why would you leave Criminal Minds? Yeah. Show? But I see why. He was going to a show where I think he has like producer credit too. So makes sense.
Cool. All right. I don't have a show this week, but I do have a beauty item. So y'all know summer is pretty much here. I don't know if the first day of summer has hit yet.
Yeah,
but it's close. But the item that I've been loving is this foundation by Ruby Kisses, and it's called Ruby Kisses Matte Foundation. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll show it in the screen. But yeah, I've been loving it because I have a love-hate relationship with makeup in the summer. Like, I want to look well put together when I go out, but it's so hot that I don't want to feel it on my skin and like I'm melting, especially if I know I'm going to be outside all day. But this is the lightest foundation I've ever worn. Like, it feels like you have nothing on. So yeah, if you're in the market for a very light foundation, I would say it's medium coverage. You can build it, but it's powder, it's matte. Ruby Kisses. I ordered mine on Amazon, but I think you can get it at like the beauty supply store. I've seen it everywhere. But another influencer I follow put me on to it, said that it was great for the summer. And yeah, this will be my summer look.
So, I was going to ask you, how'd you pick the right shade? I am always off. Like, I hate going to the store. So I do it online. And when it comes, I'm like, girl, you should have just gone to the store.
So with this one, so I looked at hers. She's a little bit darker than me. So I just went 2 shades up. and cross my fingers. But I did see at a beauty supply store not far from me that they had the samples, but I had already ordered mine, and it's cheap, y'all. Y'all want to know how much it was?
Okay, wait, let me guess. $6.
$5.
Oh, wow.
That is
scary. That, exactly. Like $5, you could at least try it.
Yeah.
Perfect. You look great.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast to share your thoughts on this topic. And if you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. Don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time, bye.
Bye.
Bye.